Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Good morning. You're better at answering that than my students. They're kind of weak on that. Well, I thank you, Robert. You were on a roll there before you got to that "he's a brilliant man's" part. That's kind of my testimony that I'm about to give. I do teach at the University of Florida. And I'm sad that there aren't more students here because so much of my story happened when I was a student at the University of Florida. So you guys, you dozen or so, have got a list for a listen real close for a hundred. God is at work at the University of Florida. For some people I know, that working at the University of Florida would be the equivalent of storming the gates of hell. But God is working there. Christians are popping up everywhere, many in leadership positions. My boss, the director of the School of Construction Management, is a Christian. His boss, the dean of our college, is a Christian. His boss, the provost, just vacated the position and we're praying for a Christian. And the president is a Christian. I am just amazed because I went to the University of Florida back when it was harder to be a Christian on campus back then than it is now. So my director sends me a Bible verse most mornings. And I ran into him last week in the hallway. And he told me, he said he did tell me a few things, and he told me that some business of the school, and I jumped in before he could say anything else. I said, "Robert, I'm in trouble. I'm the busiest I've ever been in my life. I've accepted too many responsibilities. I can't sleep some nights." He said, "Thanks for sharing that with me, Ed. I need you to teach an extra class in the fall." I told him I'd pray about it. So the night before that, Pastor Calvin had called and left a message. And when I got back to my office, I returned his call. He said he had a couple of things to discuss with me. He told me some church business, and I told him I agreed with him and support him in that. And I said, "Calvin, I'm in big trouble. I've overcommitted. I'm missing deadlines right and left. Not attending meetings. It's awful. Please pray for me." He said, "That's a tough situation, brother. I'll pray for you. Look, I'm not going to be able to preach Sunday. Can you preach for me?" I am persuaded that if you're in a situation where you're so busy that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, the worst thing you can do is tell a Christian. If you need sympathy, seek out a bleeding heart heathen. You'll be a lot better off. Okay. It is indeed a glorious experience to be a Christian, isn't it? I'm calling this message "God and Others." I don't know if it's up there or not, but that's my creative title. Because all that I have and all that I have accomplished is because of undeserved blessings from God and the help of others. Please extend me grace as I go through here and pray for me. What's with this thing here? I mean, you can see, they can see my knees knocking. If it sounds like I'm whining in the bad times or boasting in the good times, it's just all part of the story. Please extend me grace. I'm really not whining or boasting. It's just part of the story. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think about that, and think about what it really means. I couldn't have told you when it became a big part of my life. I couldn't have told you before that. I was born into a Christian home. My father was a Southern Baptist deacon. I walked the aisle at 10 years old in a revival at First Baptist Church of Chipley, Florida. I was 10 years old, and I was a boisterous, loud, sweet boy. Something happened in the next 2 years. Two things actually happened in the next 2 years that turned me into a rebel. It was mostly verbal, and I didn't hang out with the dope heads and do the dope and the drinking and all that, but it was mostly verbal. I was angry. I was very angry, and it was just below the surface, and any little thing could kind of set me off. Got beat up a few times. I graduated from high school. Part of my rebellion was, I'm not going to do the homework. I'm not going to study. And so I graduated from high school with a powerful 2.25 grade point average. Went to Chipola Junior College, which one of my professors at UF called Hicks in the Sticks Junior College, and graduated with a powerful 2.55 grade point average. I matriculated to UF. Now, that sounds weird that you have a 2.25 and a 2.55 and go to UF. Things were different then. UF has been a really good school all my life, but it used to have the reputation of being easy to get in and hard to stay in. About 14 of us boys from Chipley and Chipola Junior College came down here as buddies. Everybody roomed with others. And after 1 year, there was two of us left, and I was barely hanging on. They now, to get ranked in the top five, one of the things they measure is student retention rate. So now it's hard to get in, and once you get in, they'll do anything they can to keep you, because if you flunk out, it goes against their student retention rate. So it's just a different, I don't think it's any better school than it ever was, really, but it's a different way of looking at things. I majored in civil engineering. I was struggling academically and not living for the Lord. I went to church every Sunday, not this one. And I sat alone in the balcony. After church, I went home. When my brother came down with his buddy, they said they were going to go to a different church, North Central Baptist. So when my brother and his buddy got down here, I went with them. There wasn't any reason to go where I had been going. So I visited the college department, was placed in the Sunday school class of one Jerry Brannon. Anybody ever, if you've heard of Jerry Brannon, raise your hand. It was the second term that I had been in Mr. Brannon's class, which would have been somewhat into my second year at UF, and Mr. Brannon approached me and offered to disciple me. I didn't even know what that meant. I was having a great term because I wasn't really in school. I was co-oping with the Florida Department of Transportation office out on Waldo Road, now on 39th, out past the airport, and I was just working 40 hours a week and not taking any classes, so I was loving life. Because when I was in class, it was a different story. I had been at Florida, University of Florida, for over a year, and well into 2 years, and I had made 1A, and that was in theater appreciation, my one non-technical elective. From the time I had hit Gainesville until that moment, that whole era was like one dark hour in my life. When I remember those days, I remember in black and white. You know what I mean? It was just dark. I wasn't living for the Lord. I'm pretty sure I wasn't even a Christian. And just not a whole lot of good memories in those years. Still, I was co-oping that term, so I told Mr. Brennan I'd give it a shot. So I started going to visitation with him on Tuesday night. Joined the college, I'd already in the college group, but I got real involved with the college group and what they were doing. I started going to Wednesday night service, Sunday night service. When the term was over, I told Mr. Brennan, it's been great, but I got to start taking classes again now, and I got to study all the time. I'm just not going to be able to keep doing this. So Mr. Brennan shared a verse of scripture with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Then he challenged me. He was always challenging me. He was a football player. I'd played football as long as I could, which was high school. Kind of like a challenge, you know. He said, let God prove himself in your life. Just give God a chance to prove himself. You know he's promised he'd give you these other things if you sought him first. Let him prove it. So I decided to take Mr. Brennan, up on his challenge and stayed active all term, did all the things I'd been doing, visited with him on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Sunday night, college choir, college activities, did all those things. And then the end of the term came, and it was time for the report card. And the report card came back, and I had a 4.0 grade point average. All engineering classes. It wasn't long after that I got saved, I believe. Maybe I got saved a little before that. I didn't have one of those Aldersgate experiences like John Wesley. It kind of just happened. I got saved right along in there somewhere. Probably. One night, I'd gone to Sunday night service. And I was living alone in a mobile home. And I went home. I don't even remember who preached the sermon that night, whether it was Pastor Simmons or if it was Steve Creighton, the college minister. I don't remember what they preached about. But I went home, and I couldn't get to sleep. And the more I thought, the scareder I got. And within an hour or so, I was terrified. I was convinced that if I died that night, I'd go to hell. And it scared me to death. And so I spent that night in my little living room in my mobile home, weeping and confessing and reading scripture, going through the Bible. Long about 3 o'clock or 4, somewhere in there, I said, I got to talk to Steve Creighton, college minister. I resolved to let Steve sleep till 6, and I called him at 6 o'clock, and he said, I'll meet you at the church at 7. And he did, and we did. See, at that time, I was a Sunday school teacher. I'd left Mr. Brannon's class. He had thrust me, he had shot this arrow out of his quiver, and I was a Sunday school teacher of 8th grade boys, and I was dating the daughter of the chairman of the deacons. So Steve Creighton said, Brother Creighton, Pastor Creighton, he said, Edward, can you swallow your pride and walk the aisle and be baptized? I said, are you kidding? I'd crawl on glass at this point to get to the church to be baptized. So then Steve and I went through everything. He said, do you believe this? Yes, I do. Do you believe this? Yes, I do. Do you believe this? Yes, I do. Will you proclaim that to the people? Yes, I will. So, if I wasn't saved before, I was saved that night. And the Lord immediately cleaned up my mouth. I had played football. I had worked construction. I had been in the military. And I knew every cuss word there was. And I used them often. All of a sudden, those words didn't come into my mind. He cleaned up my mouth like that. Other things, his providence, his wisdom, was that I needed to walk through. I needed to walk them out. So some of my problems at that time, he cleaned up immediately. Others, I needed to walk out. And I'm still walking some of them out. Well, I married that daughter of the chairman of the deacons, graduated with my bachelor's degree in civil engineering all the way up to 2.7, better than 2.25 and 2.5, and hung around for a master's only because I'd had a snafu in my classes and I was going to have to stay around and take one class. So I went ahead and started my master's degree and got that. 3.1 grade point average. And I took a job. It was a great job. Great job with a highway construction company in Tampa. Great job. But I lost the job within 6 months. I lost the job because the company sold out to a big European conglomerate and they had to, you know, lighten the manpower, but I was fired. And a lot of other people, we called it Black Monday. It was the first Monday after New Year's 1985. And a lot of us lost our jobs, but you know, some people didn't lose their jobs, and Satan's saying, if you were really good, they'd have found a way to keep you. You know, you were good enough to get that good job, but you weren't good enough to keep it. It was a dark hour, very dark. It just really was a kick in the stomach, tough. So I got a job with the Florida Department of Transportation. I figured they'd hire anybody, especially somebody that had worked with them, you know, as a co-op for so long. And I appreciate the Florida DOT. It was really good training and a lot of good days there. I worked with them for 13 years. We had 4 children, and I was working my way up what you'd say the corporate ladder. In 1993, I was the assistant state construction engineer at the age of 36. It was a great job, good money. Halfway between our families there in Tallahassee, my folks were in Chipley and Susan's folks were here in Gainesville. We're living on a little farm, had a lot of friends, life was good, but things started to happen. First, I read a book called Hand Me Another Brick by Chuck Swindoll. It's about based upon Nehemiah rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And he makes the point in that book that we're fighting Satan on many fronts, but the 4 main fronts on which we are butting heads with Satan, we as believers, are constantly butting heads with Satan. There's 4 of them, he says, that are the main battle fronts. The ministry. You know, there's a lot of pastors that aren't even saved. There's a lot of missionaries that aren't even saved. And these pastors that are trying to speak the truth, like ours, are under a lot of pressure. You know, it's a lot easier to tickle the ears of the congregation. It's tough to stand up here and say things people don't want to hear. And that's one. The other one, as you can readily tell, is the media, whether it's the news media or the entertainment media. Christianity is made fun of a lot. The Christian's always the stupid one in the sitcom. And then, of course, the news media lies to us all day. And that's the second one. The third one's politics. Don't need to explain that too much. You can see the battle going on there. Every time you pick up a newspaper or go online, you see that battle going on. Thank God for the ones that are standing up for truth in that area. The fourth one was higher education. He said, I would say secondary education, but all the people in secondary education were trained in higher education. So he said, higher education is our fourth area. Well, I didn't feel called to be a missionary or a pastor. I didn't feel called to do anything in the media. I didn't think I wanted to get in politics. Higher education, now that's a possibility. I always loved college campus. Then I watched a movie, Rudy. I don't know if you've ever watched Rudy. Rudy is an awesome movie. Take my advice and watch it. It's about a guy with hardly any, if any, athletic ability that wanted to play football for Notre Dame. Now, back in those days, Notre Dame was the top program. He wanted to play football for Notre Dame. He could barely play football for his high school. And I said, you know, if Rudy Rudiger, this is a true story, Rudy Rudiger can play football for Notre Dame, maybe I can get a PhD. There were some other things that happened too, just don't have time to go through them. I took my wife and four children to State College, Pennsylvania to pursue a PhD. Skipping ahead, I got my PhD. I took a position at Iowa State University. We'd been there for about a year and a few months maybe, and Mr. Gene Branch, my father-in-law, was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was, you know, you think prostate cancer, well, you know, a lot of people get prostate cancer. It's okay. Well, he was getting some bad reports. He was really getting some bad reports. And, of course, they were being relayed to us up in Iowa. And I came home from work one day, and Susan said, you know, honey, got this report today from home, and I really want to go home and help Mom take care of Dad. And I said, well, that's fine. You know, you take the two youngest children. I'll stay here with the two oldest, and you know, we'll get through it. She said, no, I want to move. Is there anything at the University of Florida? And the construction management, construction engineering world is a very close-knit kind of family. You know where there's an opening. I said, I haven't heard of anything there at Florida, but I can find out. So the next day I went to work, and the phone rang, and it was Dr. Ralph Ellis at the University of Florida. He says, Ed, the dean just gave us a position, and if we don't fill it in 2 weeks, he's going to give it to the School of Biological Engineering, it was. Do you want it? I didn't even have to test. I didn't even have to put in an application. I came back to the University of Florida. I said, that guy in the door standing there, that's me. I'm there. So we all lived happily ever after, right? Wrong answer. Not exactly. The day I walked into become a member of the University of Florida engineering faculty, so walked in a new dean. We walked in the same day. And the new dean was coming from the University of Michigan, where they had just discontinued and disbanded their construction engineering program. And he said, we're not going to have a construction engineering program at the University of Florida. It's not real engineering. And it was sad because, you know, with the addition of me and another fellow, we were up to where we had more professors than just about anybody in the country. We probably had the strongest construction engineering program in the country at that point. This guy said, we're going to tear it down. So You know, a while ago when I said that God is working on the University of Florida campus, I think I traced it back to the day that Howie and Nance Kaufman came to the University of Florida campus. Where's Nancy? Where are they? I think it's about that same time that things started happening at the University of Florida. Howie is a missionary, and Nance also. They're missionaries. They're paid by crew, but they're missionaries to college professors. How about that? Missionaries to college professors. And so Howie came to my office and introduced himself. He'd already done that. I mean, he did it pretty soon after I got to Florida. And I told him the situation. And so he got a math professor named Rick Smith, and they started meeting with me every week. And they were keeping my head up because I was told by one after another that you're not going to make it. You're not going to make tenure. And so Howie and Rick kept me in the Word. They kept encouraging me. Howie would drop by the office unannounced and just ask me how I was doing. When it came, push came to shove, my director, the chair of the civil engineering department, called me in and said, Ed, you're not going to make it. I would like for you, we all like you here. If it wasn't for this tenure thing, nobody would have ever come and fired you. But you're not going to make tenure, and you need to start looking for another job. We'll let you stay a year while you hunt for another job. And that was a dark hour. That was even worse than the first time I lost my job, because these are the guys that I'm walking the hall with that are voting. These are the guys I go to the Copper Monkey and eat a hamburger with. And they're saying, we like you, Ed, but you're just not what we need here as a professor. So they allowed me, because they like me so much, to withdraw my tenure package so that it's not on my record that I didn't get tenure. I lined up interviews with civil engineering programs around the country. I had an interview at the University of Alabama, and I had Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina State yet to visit. And then I got a phone call, and it was the director of the building construction school, which doesn't exist anymore. The building construction school at the University of Florida, they said, Ed, we want to start, all we teach here is building construction. We want to start a highway, bridge, dam kind of a track, and we want to teach industrial construction also. He was oblivious to my situation. He didn't know I was in trouble in civil engineering. He just called me and offered me this job. And so I applied. And I went through the process. And I didn't want to go to work there. I didn't want to go to work there. It wasn't an engineering program. And by golly, I had sweat blood to become an engineer. I didn't want to teach in that rinky-dink school. The Rinker School. We called it the rinky-dink school. I didn't want to teach in the rinky-dink school. I was an engineer, by golly. Well, they offered a job before Alabama did, and they offered me a promotion to associate professor and a bigger raise than I'd gotten in civil if I'd have gotten tenure. So I took the job, just had to move across campus instead of to another state. I was still kind of in the dark. I was listening to Satan, and I felt like a failure because I wasn't in an engineering program. Just couldn't cut it. But then, boom. I got more research in the first year at Rinker than I had in 6 years in civil engineering. All of a sudden, these proposals I'd been sending out and getting Dear John letters back from, I started getting them. I started getting these research projects. The phone started ringing and offering me consulting opportunities. I had never gotten one consulting opportunity in civil engineering. All of a sudden, I get one phone call after another wanting me to do consulting for them. I received tenure in 2 years, promoted to professor in 4 years, spent 7 years as the director of our graduate programs. We have 11 programs in graduate programs in the Rinker School, and I was the director of them. I was the associate director of the school, and I got the biggest honor I'd ever gotten. I was named a UF Research Foundation professor. I got to church Sunday morning, and Dr. Zane Palmer walked up to me, shook my hand, patted me on the back, and said, "Congratulations." It was a big deal. Mr. Cheshire read it in the Gainesville Sun that morning, and he came up and congratulated me. Well, maybe this Rinker School isn't so bad after all. Then I was named the UF Term Professor, which is also very prestigious. And I was, as Robert said, I was named the Holland Professor, which I still hold. I took a sabbatical. First, after 16 years, I took my first sabbatical. Got to teach it for a year at Northeastern University in Boston, which is a really good school, while I did my coursework for a master's degree at Harvard. I just started at Cambridge, as Robert said, as a visiting academic fellow, and I have a graduate student there at Cambridge who has a PhD, of course. I don't know, I'm afraid to even tell the guy anything. And I'm his advisor. Me? At Harvard, Cambridge, me, the guy with a 2.25 grade point average in high school, 2.55 at Hicks and the Sticks Junior College. My friend, my best friend in high school, told one of our classmates what had been going on with me, and the guy said, "Nah, somebody else. Couldn't happen. Nope, not believing it. Look, you can talk to me all you want. Talk to me till you blue in the face. That is not the same guy. Didn't happen. Couldn't happen." Perhaps you are in a dark place right now. Tough times in your business, tough times in your career, tough times in school, your family, tough times in your family. Listen to me. He is faithful. Your dark hour could be your fault. If it is, you need to make it right. Walk out of it. Or he could be part of God's plan to prepare you for something big. Here are some things to think about. Remember Moses' 40 years in Midian to prepare him for his big challenge. Jacob's 20 years in Paddan Aram serving a very unjust Laban, preparing him for his challenge. Winston Churchill, Lord of the Admiralty at the age of 40. Lost that in disgrace after the Battle of Gallipoli, which he kind of blew. Fell into disfavor in Parliament, sunk to the status of a joke, a backbencher that no one took seriously or listened to. He changed parties numerous times, and none of the parties in Britain wanted him. But he never quit. He was, when the bombs started dropping, they brought him back as Lord of the Admiralty when Hitler started invading countries. In the limo on his way to meet the king and take over as prime minister, he said, "I felt that I was walking with destiny and that all my past life had been a preparation for this hour, for this trial. Perhaps there is an hour for which you are being prepared. Perhaps you're at a crossroads or have big decisions to make regarding how you should spend your time or how you should set your priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My charge to you would, as Jerry Brannan challenged me 42 years ago, let God prove himself in your life. It's work for me." Thank you.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.